The story of Paramount Records is rich with contradictions. It was a record label that was founded by a furniture company, a commercial enterprise that became arguably the most comprehensive chronicler of African-American music in the early 20th century. Now, the second and final volume of a huge Paramount reissue project features what may be the label's greatest contribution to American music, its recordings of the Mississippi style that came to be called the Delta Blues. NPR's Tom Cole has the stories of some of the musicians and one of their champions.
For Paramount executives, music was an afterthought.
They didn't really care about any of it. They just wanted to sell record players.
Guitarist, singer, and songwriter Jack White founded Third Man Records, one of the partners, along with Revenant Records, in the Paramount reissue project.
And by accident, they'd captured Charlie Patton and Mississippi Sheiks and Blind Lemon Jefferson and Son House and Skip James. I mean, these are the granddaddies of modern music.
The acknowledged granddaddy of the Delta granddaddies was guitarist and singer Charlie Patton.
I'm about to go to jail about this tune.
He's the most important figure, in my opinion, in this whole Paramount world because he's the one that all the other blues musicians looked up to. He's almost the beginning of the family tree.
Patton is believed to have been born around 1891 and was possibly the first musician in the Mississippi Delta to make his living just by playing blues. He was a hero to other musicians, says Peter Guralnick, author of several books on the blues. But he says the man was nothing like his music sounded.
Just hearing the voice, you would think you were hearing someone who was 6'3", 6'4", weighed 300 pounds, was jet black. And as it turned out, Charlie Patton was extremely light-skinned. And he was a little guy. And so this voice, it just comes out with this unbelievable energy, this focus and an intensity. There's nothing else that's happening when he's singing. That's it. He's there.
Patton was also the consummate entertainer. He clowned around on stage, playing his guitar behind his head and between his legs. When he decided he was ready to record, Patton wrote a letter to a white man named H.C. Spear, who was a talent scout for Paramount.
Patton was one of the best talents I ever had, and he's one of the best sellers, too, on record.
That Spear from a 1968 interview recorded by blues historian Gail Dean Wardlow, now housed in the archives at Middle Tennessee State University's Center for Popular Music. Wardlow says Patton went to Spear for a reason.
The word was out all over Mississippi, if you want to get on record, you go audition for Mr. Spear. The word was, he won't cheat you.
Unlike a lot of the other record company scouts, Spear paid a flat fee for each song, usually around $50, a lot of money for rural musicians at the time. And he had an ear for the music because he grew up in the Mississippi Hill Country hearing it. He also seemed to understand the musician's plight.
He's a human being, and when he's forced into things, he can take what we call the blues, you know, be blue. You can imagine that a child that was sick and a white man didn't do very much, couldn't get a doctor. That's what it is, what the blues is, and sorrow.
Let us not turn in here and go.
Nobody was really recording the guitar bluesman before Paramount. And your great Mississippi bluesmen all came through Spear. Almost all of them.
Gail Dean Wardlow says one of them was guitarist, pianist, and singer Skip James. He was born Nehemiah Curtis James in 1902 in Yazoo City, Mississippi. He told an interviewer in 1964 that he got his nickname from all of the dancing around he did as a child.
I was very active in dancing, and they called me Skippy.
James learned piano and a little music theory in high school. Peter Guralnick also interviewed James and says the musician took his blues very seriously.
Skip James was just a very cerebral, inward-looking person, but under no constraint whatever to be self-deprecating. Skip James felt that he was making music of great impact and seriousness.
Even though he came out of the same fertile environment as Charlie Patton and Robert Johnson, James didn't sound like anyone else. He tuned his guitar differently and would throw his voice into a high falsetto. He's credited with creating the first real guitar breaks in a blues song. James said he recorded more than 24 songs over the course of just a few days in Paramount's Grafton, Wisconsin studio.
Didn't have but 3 minutes to make a record. I made 26 songs, 8 on guitar, and the rest of them on piano.
What happened afterwards upset him, as he recalled in that 1964 interview, which is now at the Southern Folklife Collection's Wilson Library at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
I got one consideration as a royalty about all of those records. Well, that just discouraged me. See, I just give up music for a long time, give it up completely.
It could be that James only got one royalty payment because it was 1931, the height of the Great Depression. No one could afford to spend 75 cents on a record anymore. The label made its final recordings the following year, and again the musicians were from the Delta, the Mississippi Sheiks.
But I went to the graveyard and looked deep down in her face. Nana, I hear me talking, pretty mama, Lord. I went to the graveyard and looked deep down in her face.
Paramount Records folded within the year. Skip James lived to see his career revived during the folk boom of the 1960s. Charlie Patton, a drinker with heart problems, died 2 years after Paramount closed its doors. And H.C. Spear got out of the music business, eventually becoming an insurance salesman. Still, Jack White says what they and their record label accomplished was considerable.
They were trying to make a dollar and captured American history.
Tom Cole, NPR News.
Well, I went to the J-Town, strain on my thin knees. Nana, I hear me talking, pretty mama.